The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to Real Pod. It's your host, Victoria Garrick Brown, and this is the podcast where we hold nothing back.
Oh, so we're getting deep, huh?
I really cried for 12 days straight.
Why do I want to be perfect? There's nothing in my life that is perfect.
Every week, I'll bring you honest, unfiltered, and eye-opening conversations to help uncover the real in all of us.
I crave the type of content that you're talking about.
I actually felt insecure.
Oh my God, am I going to cry?
Let me just unload everything.
New episodes every Wednesday. Leave those filters at the door because it's time to get real.
Happy birthday to
Happy
us.
Birthday.
This is so exciting.
So exciting. This is the birthday episode, everybody. My B-day will be yesterday. We're recording this a little bit in the future, but we once did an episode where Aubrey came on and interviewed me. And so I thought for my 27th birthday, and because she's in town, how fun would it be to try it again?
I'm so honored to be here in the actual studio. This is so much more official than our little So Much to Say podcast remote from our bedrooms.
You guys, if you enjoy this, go listen to So Much to Say. It was it was so good. I love how you are like very, I don't know. And then we're in the chair, like Aubrey's holding her paper. She's got her notes. She's like
situated.
Fully ready, I'm afraid.
So what are your plans to celebrate the big 27?
So I always feel like birthdays can be lots of pressure and also just like, I don't know. You feel like you have to like have a dinner. You have to do something. And I can think of so many years, mainly after college, sometimes in college, though.
Yeah.
Where it's like, gosh, now I got to like rally people and then I feel pressure.
Yeah. I remember your, I think it was your 23rd or your 24th birthday. We were getting ready and your mom was planning you a little surprise birthday. But like you really thought it was just the two of us going to dinner. And like you were in like kind of a weird place with friendships.
That felt so awkward to me because I was like, oh my God, it was so uncomfortable, everyone. My mom was trying to do a nice thing and like plan me a birthday dinner, but I felt like it was just a hodgepodge of like people I was friends with and then people I was like, I liked, but like when we're all sitting at a table, like it's a little, you
what
know,
what we say.
But it really is like an intimate thing. It's like if you're inviting someone to a birthday dinner, it's like, I consider you one of my close friends.
I know. And I remember on the way there, you kept being like, please promise me this isn't a birthday surprise. Like, I, you know, like I'm not in a good place with friends and whatever. I was like, no, what? We didn't, Vic, it's just us. And like, we get there. And like, you started crying. And like, I think you were happy to have everyone there. But like,
well, because I think
there's such a birthday stress every year.
I think I was feeling insecure. Like, oh, I would love to have a special dinner with lots of girls and feel like I have this friend group that I didn't really have. So I think it's emotional because I'm like, oh my God, like, I do feel loved and I do have these friendships. Yeah. I mean, I was also used to be really hard on myself back in the day on like what defines a close friend. And like, I would really overthink a lot. Now I feel like I'm in such a better place with my social life and also just the way I think about friendships. And I've done a lot of friendship episodes on the pod. I've had an expert on how to break up with friends. I've had an expert on how to cultivate friendships recently. But yeah, at first I wasn't going to do anything. I was just like, you know, whatever, like I'll have a day off. And then I was like, I think if I wake up on my birthday, I'm going to want something to do. So I actually got super lucky. One of my close friends, Cindy, happens to be in town. One of my other good friends, Chloe, who lives 2 hours away, said she'd drive in for lunch. Yeah. Like it's all kind of coming together, which is nice. And so it'll be like 8 people, including my mom.
I was
going to
say, is Queen Lainey coming?
Of course.
Of course she's coming.
My mom is one of my friends.
I'm so happy. Where are you guys going?
The Ivy.
Amazing.
I mean, it's going to be
just
really
like
cute and girly.
A classic LA moment.
Yeah. But I have had the birthdays where I don't have a plan. Or last year, I went to celebrate your birthday because our birthdays are 3 days apart.
I know. Twins.
Twins. And that was like the perfect excuse. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to Aubrey's birthday and my birthday is on a Sunday. So like, I guess I don't have to plan anything because I can't. Yeah. And it was like such a relief.
Yeah.
What about you?
I feel the same this year. Like, I'm kind of like, I don't need a big celebration. Last year, I don't know what got into me. I was like, I'm renting a boat for 100 people. I didn't know 75% of the people on the boat. I had random people coming up and saying happy birthday to me and like so much fun.
It was a combo, right? It was you and Courtney.
It was me and my friend Courtney who has the same birthday as me. And we just invited everyone we know in San Francisco. Said, tell your friends' moms. We want everyone there. And people showed up and we had a blast. But this year I'm just going to Tahoe with my 5 closest friends in the city and Wood and just doing a little weekend getaway.
It's kind of like a couple strip, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, just three couples and we want an excuse to ski. And I was like, why not do it on my birthday so I don't have to plan anything?
Right.
When I was little, I'm like so averse to planning. I hate planning things. It just like always stresses me out. So I had the luxury of having Victoria, my type A best friend who loves a good plan, loves birthdays. Birthday 3 days after mine. So we would always do combined birthday parties. Victoria and Lainey were always in charge of the plan. And I was happy to ride along.
That was so fun.
And just be the co-birthday girl.
We have so many cutie pictures of us blowing out candles together.
I know. We'd get matching outfits. We'd get the Baskin Robbins cake with our face on it.
That was so iconic. Oh, yeah. So I'm excited. This will be a good birthday this year. I used to overthink like what my family would think or what my friends would think or like that you're going to invite someone and they're going to think, oh my God, you think we're this close? We're not this close. Like, and it's just like, I just have started thinking, it's not that deep. Right. Like, I want to have people that I fuck with and like, yeah, that's great. And honestly, one of my newer close friends who I've been so grateful to get really close with in LA, yeah, is Michelle. And I really feel like our friendship took a new step when she invited me to her birthday dinner.
I know, because it's like so...
It is an honor.
Flattering.
Yeah, there were only six people there. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, you want me here. And like, to me, it was almost my like, okay, we like each other. Like,
oh, good, we're friends. Yeah. It's like a boy texting you to back or like literally inviting him to your birthday. Like, oh, and you think we're there?
Yeah. And I feel like so since that moment, like we've just continued to get such closer as friends. So, you know, I think it's just like, if you like people, like... Yeah, hang out with them, invite them, and it's not that deep.
It's not that deep.
That's something else about like being 27. I just feel like I am really starting to care less what people think.
Yeah.
I think the closer I get to 30, I'm like, I mean, my 20s are gone.
Right.
Why did I waste so much time caring what people thought of me?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like up until like 25, you're all running in the same social circles, doing the same thing. And then like now at 25, 26, 27, like people start veering off, like doing their own thing. Like they have different social lives. Like you're not all expected to be in a sorority and like be in a certain friend group and go to invite dinners and like no one's paying attention anymore.
Yeah. I feel like that's especially unique for you because you've always been part of like a group. Like you've always had some sort of group happening. And I feel like I haven't had any sort of friend group since high school. So I've been pretty used to like the pick up a good friend here, pick up a friend there. Like they meet each other. Now all my close friends from my wedding know each other, which is great because it's like, I'm like, okay, I'm forming my own group and it's the people that I know and the group exists when I'm there.
You're like, I will continue to text this bridesmaid group chat when good things happen.
No, literally, that's true because I want to tell you all about something. So I'm like, I'm just gonna text the bride.
But then it's like so nice for all of us to be on the receiving end of that because like then we feel close to each other.
Yeah, that's the fun part about weddings is all your best friends get to meet each other and
like,
hang out.
I feel like Natalie and I were friends for so long and then like at your wedding, like that's when we became like besties.
Yeah.
You know?
I have been touching my hair recently. I've been looking at it and just like feeling like it's not as thick. It's not as shiny. So what if I told you that Pros can create a custom and truly customized for you formula for your specific hair and skin? Every bottle of Pros custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful ingredients to meet your specific needs. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and self-care goals. Pros gets personal. They cover everything, even your stress levels, to uncover what could be impacting your hair and skin health. They even ask about zip code to understand the water hardness, UV index, and how the air where you live might be impacting you. Next, they recommend a full routine of truly personalized products, which are only produced after you place your order. So nothing is pre-mixed or off the shelf. People who switch to Pros notice that their hair is noticeably stronger, fuller, and shinier. And I mean it, because in a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised, controlled clinical study, Pros proved personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. Pros is so confident you'll love your results that they're offering RealPod listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. You will get 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/realpod. That's Pros, PROSE.com/realpod for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Pros.com/realpod. all right, I did it. I am finally invested and very much into red light therapy. And the reason I am is because our next sponsor, Bond Charge, has a red light face mask that is truly unreal. You probably have seen it online. I usually put it on when I finish my workday and I leave it on for 15 minutes. Pop it on while watching TV, reading in bed, cooking, scrolling on your phone. The mask uses both near infrared and red light, which boost collagen and elastin production. The mask is very lightweight and does not get hot or burn, so don't worry. You need to check this out because Bond Charge is a wellness brand with a huge range of evidence-based products to improve your life in every way. The red light face mask has a wide range of uses, including relief from a sore jaw, migraines, acne, and relaxation. So red light therapy has been game-changing, and it's been reviewed in over 4,000 peer-reviewed studies, with 400-plus being double-blind placebo trials. So not only do these studies show the amazing health benefits of red light therapy, but not one has shown any negative side effects. The mask is sleek and lightweight, designed with a one-year warranty, and I'm so excited to continue seeing the noticeable differences in my skin, looking more glowy, and the decreased headaches from using the red light face mask from Bond Charge. Go to bondcharge.com and use our coupon REALPOD, all caps, no spaces, to save 15%. That's Bond Charge, BONCHARGE.com, and use coupon code REALPOD to save 15%. Enjoy. This episode of REALPOD is brought to you by Maybelline. I had to do it. As the number one makeup brand in the world, iconic. I feel like I literally grew up watching Maybelline commercials, admiring Maybelline makeup. Maybelline is not only sponsoring this episode of REALPOD, but they're creating a powerful impact. They have a new initiative that they've created called Brave Together. This is designed to help those facing anxiety and depression by funding free professional one-on-one support so that no one has to struggle alone. This is truly incredible. Mental health challenges like anxiety and depression, they can be so difficult to manage on your own. Many of you are familiar with my own story of how difficult it was for me and how reaching out for support was really hard in the beginning, but how amazing that support has been for me. I want everyone to receive support like that, and so does Maybelline. So Maybelline New York created the Brave Talk training to help people navigate mental health conversations with their friends. And their five easy steps to having a Brave Talk are to be present, be in the right setting, ask questions, validate feelings, and encourage action. It is brave to ask for help, so let's be brave together. Maybelline is committed to donating $10 million to NGO partners and providing free professional one-on-one support to 3 million people by 2025. This is incredible, and Maybelline wants to make sure no one has to struggle alone. So if you or someone you know is experiencing anxiety or depression, Maybelline New York is funding free confidential support. Text TOGETHER to 741-741 or visit maybelline.com/bravetogether to learn more.
How have you changed from 25 to 27? I know we've kind of touched on it, but what is the biggest change you've seen?
I feel like 25 to 27 is such an interesting gap because I think I'm such a different person at 25 than I am at 27.
Yeah,
27 is like so much more. You're in your late 20s.
Yes, literally.
25, you're just a baby.
But you were a baby bride. So
I
like
know.
you were grown.
I literally was. I feel like I have reached a new level of how I interact with people and how I think about problems and I think about issues and like getting hurt. I feel like a lot about, honestly, what we talked about during the So Much to Say book club podcast where we were reading A New Earth and, I mean, crying every other episode. And like, honestly, we did that at a time where at least I think, and you too, but I felt like I was really working through finishing some big issues I felt like I had in my personal life. And I feel like I'm on the other side of that. And so I think that now at 27, I would like to imagine the way that I would handle myself in tough situations or if I'm being wronged or if I'm being hurt or something's really difficult for me, I have so many more tools at 27 than I did at 25 emotionally.
I agree with you. I can see that in you. Like, I feel like at 25, you were very intertwined with, I don't know, friendships and other people's problems. And you really like dove into other people's stuff, which is fine. It means you care. But like, I see you being more of an individual and, you know, realizing like you have your own stuff. Like, it's okay. You don't have to hold on to everyone else.
Right. I feel like I used to be really reactive because I was flowing with everyone else's flow.
Yeah.
And now I think it's like, I'm totally independent the way I choose to have my emotions and my reactions. And it's crazy. And I will notice Max brings it up a lot. Like, even the other day, we had an intense conversation for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And he ends it by saying, I'm so grateful, like, to be married to you because we can have this kind of conversation where it's like constructive. And like, I literally no longer will just like cry and be like, well, this hurt my feelings or this, that. Actually, him and I were having a conversation about something and I felt like I was about to cry. But it was important for me to not center myself because I need to support him and show him strength and show him confidence, you know?
Yeah.
And I knew that if I started crying, it's just like,
it shifts the attention to you.
And not that it's not important to cry, but like, I just felt like it wasn't necessary. And it was like, that was where I was naturally feeling to go. But then when I gained consciousness and awareness, I was like, we can take a deep breath before we say this sentence and we can say it without tears.
I love that. I'm getting there. I think a lot of people are. I mean, like, I think it's huge that you have the awareness to step back and the ability to, because a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And yeah, I see you holding on to things so much less than you used to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you used to really, I don't want to say take everything personally because that makes it sound like.
I definitely did.
Yeah. I don't want to say that, but like, everything was like a personal battle for you. And now I just see you kind of observing it.
Yes.
I just observe. It's not yours.
I find myself, I create so much compassion and like positivity for another person's storyline. Even this morning when we were walking to coffee and we were talking about someone and I was thinking, like, my immediate thought is like, oh, well, that person doesn't like me. And then I thought to myself, that's not true. I've never like heard them say that. And this is all stuff I'm doing in my head in the span of like 10 seconds. And I'm like, you know, the same way that I might have accidentally forgotten to follow someone back or whatever, like, it's not that deep.
It's not that deep. But I love that.
I do think there's still so much more to become and like to learn. And
yeah,
I'm excited. Not that I want to be in a tough spot, but I would say my mental health, and the day this comes out will be the first day of May, which is Mental Health Month. And I feel like I've been in a really good place with my mental health. Even like listening to Tortured Poets Department, it is so sad and depressing.
So sad and depressing.
I'm like, Tay, I want to get there with you.
Yeah.
I want to get there with you so bad. But I'm in a happy girl place.
I'm not there.
Right.
How do you feel like your mental health has changed over the last year? Like 26 to 27.
I really do feel like I've had a lot of acceptance and a lot of forgiveness. And it's taken a long time to get there. I mean, I did this episode called A Hard Truth. You can't save someone who doesn't want to be saved. And yes, that was all about acceptance. And I just feel like even I took so much away from reading the book with Eckhart Tolle. I literally think about multiple times a week when you choose to resist the present moment, AKA you're not accepting what is, you choose to add suffering to your life. And it's been so game changing to me. So I feel like one of the biggest differences has been like the way that I handle the tough things. I let go of the expectations that I had, or I catch myself telling the sob story. I still have bad days, of course, and I have moments, but I think I'm getting closer to the version of myself that I want to be most, which is, I call it my Mother Teresa side. I'm like, it's like, it's okay. Everyone struggles, you know, it's fine. Like, I forgive and I move on and I'm a happy girl.
What's your take on this? Like, you're in therapy.
Yeah.
You do routine checkups. Like, you're not in weekly. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do like every other week, if not like once a month.
How do you go into therapy when you are in this happy girl mindset and you're listening to Taylor Swift and you're like, I can't relate? Like, what are there days where you go into therapy and you're like, I don't have anything to say right now?
I've had that more recently. So that's why I've like decreased my cadence. Yeah. It used to be every week and then it was every other week. And now I think between the last session and the next session I'm going to have, it's like almost four.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm definitely like, I'm not trying to pay for a session if like I don't need it. Like, it is expensive. Mm-hmm. So I think I noticed that. And I think it's like, okay, like I don't need to be going as much.
Yeah.
But I definitely think if a problem arose, like Allie knows everything.
Allie is filled in.
Yeah, I would need to.
She doesn't need a lot of context.
That would be where I'd be going. So I do feel nice in knowing that I feel like I do have a really strong, like, permanent support when it comes to issues that could repeat themselves.
I think that's great. I think that's healthy to have. I think that's something I should look into. Okay. You're 27 years old. You have an extremely successful career. You've built a nonprofit and this amazing podcast and everything else you do. You're married. What advice do you have for other 27-year-olds still figuring it out, whatever that looks like to them?
I feel like I've been able to be where I am and to keep working towards what I want to work towards because I was really real with myself about how I was feeling and like chasing what I was passionate about. And if I look back at how I'm here, I'm only here because I decided like I couldn't keep quiet anymore about a major issue I saw, which was the mental health issues facing student athletes. And that's why I was like, I'm going to write an article about it here, or I'm going to try out to give a TEDx talk. And then I got cut. And then I was like brought back. And then I said to them, you have to let me do this. Like, trust me, like this is really important. And then it was. And like, I would say, even if you don't know what exactly you want to do or who the person is you're going to marry or what's coming next, I think we all can feel a sense of like gut of what just feels right to us. That's something else I think I want to get better at tapping into in this year for myself, is like I can be really logical and like what's on paper and what makes sense. And I don't take a lot of time to just actually try to quiet my thoughts and feel like what feels right to do here. I'm seeking a lot of advice from other people. I want validation from other people. That's something that I would love to be better at in my 27th year, is to do things without, honestly, like my parents' input, my friends' validation. You know, something Max and I talk about is like, how can we be better at making decisions just us and not needing other people? So I would say like, it's, you know, the advice would be really trying to get quiet and understand what you care about in life and what you want to make your life be about, because 27 is still so, so, so young. Yeah. You're never too old to start doing something that you care about or try building up your side hustle or just call people and have conversations. Like, I love that ambitious, what?
No, I'm agreeing. I'm agreeing. I'm smiling because I'm in complete agreement with you.
Yeah. And the second part of that is I definitely think I need to, as I try to stop caring about what people think of me, also stop seeking approval and answers from other people. This is so, so small. And people are probably going to roll their eyes the amount of times I talk about like fashion and what my family's wearing and like whatnot. But we are going to, actually, it will have happened by the time this airs, so we'll see if I can keep my word. But we're going to this welcome party for a family wedding. And I know it's expected that my mom will know what I'm wearing before we get there. Like, she wants to know what I'm wearing, like, is it fit the occasion? Does it fit the vibe? I am 27. My mom doesn't
need to text
approve.
Your mom.
No, and it's not even like she, to my mom's credit, she's not like, you need to tell me or you can't go until you show me. It's just this relationship we've developed where like, there's no world where I could imagine myself showing up and my mom sees what I'm wearing for the first time when I'm there. And it's so small, but it trickles into like Max and I have been going to some open houses and we've decided that we don't want to buy at this point and we have a different plan. But throughout that process, like my parents, it would have been like, they're involved. When they're not, it's like a thing that we're doing on our own. But I'm just like, what do you think of the house? And what do you think about this investment for us? And do you think this is smart? And I think there's a place to ask advice. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's so relatable, because like, I'd kill to be able to text Lainey before every event so that she could pick out my outfit. But when it's constant, like, and you feel like you have to, or it's a standard, that's exhausting. Like, you need space to make your own decisions. But it's funny because from an outside perspective, I feel like outside of maybe your family, you are kind of the tone setter. Like, I text you when we're going somewhere, like, is this outfit okay? You know what I mean? Like, it trickles down, because I think it comes from the top being Mother Lainey, the seer of all good.
She's always right.
And then she's always right. And then it trickles down to Vic, who also isn't often wrong.
It's one of those weird things where it seems so, Vic knows and she's so sure and she makes all these great decisions. And then it's like, I can be in these other environments with my family where I'm like,
I feel so small.
Yeah, I'm like waiting for like, it's so true. But there have been so many things recently, like there's something really exciting that I'm obsessed with that is coming out in 2 weeks, a little teaser. Yeah. And none of that I ran by anyone. I came up with it. And I trusted my gut.
Love.
And I'm really proud of it. And there's been so many things. Like, I mean, I love my parents. They have no idea like how I run my business.
No.
So there's things that are split. But I care a lot what people think still. I seek a lot of validation. And that's something that I want to stop doing and just catch myself in the auto text a picture of this to someone or ask them what they think of this decision and instead just make my own decision and feel really good about the choice that I made.
I love that. I feel like I need to do the same thing because I'm what?
You've gotten better at it.
I have. I think 27 is awesome for being able to explore your individuality.
Right. I just think individuality is powerful. And I actually have been really despising the way that trend culture is making us all the same. And I'm so guilty of it. Like, I once saw this TikTok and it was a guy being like, white girls would be running around acting like chickens with their heads cut off if Hailey Bieber like stopped telling them like what to wear and how to paint their nails and how to cut their hair. Like, and I'm literally like at it.
Me.
Yeah. No, literally, you
all
know.
All of us.
And I want to just be more myself. I am myself. I feel really great when I look at like a color palette or I'm designing a RealPod studio at home and, you know, it's like, what would this space look like if it was in my space? And people looked at it and said, that's so Victoria. So like,
yeah.
And I don't even always know what that is because I don't know if I allow myself the opportunity to express me as much as I want because of the, how do I fit in? I want to make sure people like this thing that we all have.
Have you seen the pushback against like sad beige apartments or sad beige interior design?
Yeah.
Literally at me.
I have beef with that because I posted my living room and it's all neutral. And someone was like, would love to see you throw some color in there. Like, oh, it's so like bland. I like it that way.
Yeah.
I do.
I do too.
I love color on my outfits. I love color in my office. Places I don't want color are my bedroom and the living room. And that makes me happy.
Yeah.
So it's also like the moments where people say, oh, you're so basic for this. And it's like, but actually that is what I want.
Like, I know. I like feeling like I live in an insane asylum. Like, I don't want an ounce of color, not a splash.
We're going to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, Nike. Nike has previously sponsored some of my favorite fitness-inspired RealPod episodes on mindfulness, working out as a former athlete, and loving movement. Definitely check those episodes out. I really loved them. And today, I'm excited to talk about the Nike Indie Bra and the Nike Universa Leggings. The Indie Bra and Universa Leggings are perfect for any type of movement. And I truly mean any type of movement, like squats, running, yoga, hot girl walk, whatever your heart desires. I wore them the other day when Max and I walked to a cute little coffee shop. So it was casual. We're in the neighborhood. And then I kept them on and I threw on my Indie Bra for a workout class. The Universa Leggings can truly be worn all the time, no matter what type of physical activity you're up to. They're also like really soft and comfortable. It's due to the InfiniSmooth fabric they use. You can feel it from the first touch. And not only are the leggings amazing, but like I said, the Indie Bra, which by the way, now comes in low, medium, and high support, is so great. I always choose high support because when I'm working out, I want my girls frozen, okay? No moving at all. And the Indie Bra keeps everything secure. But the best part is that you can customize it to whatever type of support you need. Like I said, it comes in low, medium, and high support, which we love to see. Together, they make the perfect set. Go to Nike.com to shop the Universa Leggings and Indie Bra today. That's Nike.com, Nike.com to shop the Universa Leggings and Indie Bra. Enjoy. We're going to take a quick break to talk about one of my favorite sponsors and favorite parts of my everyday, which is AG1. Look, taking care of our health is not always easy, but it should at least be simple. We're all so busy. We have so much going on. I personally need something really simple that I know is great for my overall health. And that's why for the last 4 years now, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. AG1 is literally just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. And it is so good for you. AG1 supports your whole body health. So when I drink AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from whole foods. I like to think of it as like nutritional insurance. So I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the start of the day. Each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a really powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. So if there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it is truly AG1. And that's why I've partnered with them for so long. Even if we didn't partner, I would still drink it every single day. That's how much I love this. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/realpod. That's drinkag1.com/realpod. Check it out.
Okay. So bouncing off my last question, you've accomplished so much already in your career and your life. How do you see yourself growing in the future? Are there any goals you have in mind?
I think that something I've been mindful of in where I'm at now and what I do is there's a lot of comparison with follower counts and likes, and people, I think, would maybe look at content creators or entrepreneurs who do their work on social media and say, you're better or worse based on numbers. And I think as I think about what's to come, I really have gotten out of that mindset, which I think is so healthy for me. And I see like the value in what's special and the communities that I'm building and I hope to continue building. And even things like RealPod, it's like I've been doing it for 5 years, and could the numbers be higher? Yeah. Could XYZ? Sure. But I don't care.
Right.
I know we're creating something that I hope is helping people and that people are enjoying. And it's all about like fostering that. And I think almost like I imagine the chart that people look at as success is here to up, you know, and I'm using my hand and I'm starting low and I'm pointing up, and like that's a trajectory. And I see myself almost going in like a different direction. I'm just going like in a nice like out to space. Like,
and I love that.
That's like the visual I have when I think about it. You know, I'm like, I don't want to be on the same chart as people and like comparing, because it's not apples to apples.
No.
I've always said to myself, there's not someone I'm looking at that I want to be like and I want to emulate. I want to do me, and I want to do something that's never been done before, and I want to be the first of myself. So I don't have this perfect plan. And I've had calls where people have said, you should, you know, talk about each year what you want to make, what the goals are. You should map the goals and then reach the goals. I don't know. Doesn't work like that. And I'm really organized and I'm on my shit, but it doesn't feel natural to create goals like that. It's more like the intangible of like, how do we want to show up and be? Because I know that if we do that, we're going to attract and keep building something beautiful.
You're mood boarding instead of like concrete goal setting. Like you're manifesting. You have a vision. You don't need the numbers.
Yeah. And I think I'm trying to be more connected to like what makes me happy. And even like the video that Aubrey and I filmed this morning, which would be 2 weeks ago, but it was us dancing to Fortnite by Taylor Swift off the new album, having coffee. And that was so fun for me. Like, we were literally dancing on the street, like, 'cause of Fortnite. And I was like, this is so funny and cute. And like, I think people are doing this with their friends right now. Let me just take a video. And we take one video and we post it. That like fills my cup so much more than going to my desk and being like, okay, the new album is out. I have to brainstorm content. And then I have to like do it as if it's like a job. Like, it's like, I want to just live and feel full and then document the parts of that I want to document and have that like radiate through.
I feel like those are the creators that are the most fun to watch anyways, not the calculated one with graphics and I don't know, just the ones that you can feel are just being themselves. Like, those are the ones that people connect to.
Yeah.
And like, you have such a great foundation of like what you stand for, that like posting fun videos like that, like just let people know who you are.
Yeah.
So like, it's so much more fun to watch.
You know what, though, is tough is that it's such an ebb and flow, because I'll have weeks where I'm feeling like really in my power and I want to be myself online and just post what makes me happy. And then I have other days where I'm just like overthinking, like if I post this, people will think, oh, that's so annoying. Or if I post this, someone might unfollow me. Or if I post this, like, and I get really in my head. But that's like what I'm trying to overcome, I think, is how can I not ebb and flow so consistently between feeling in my power and feeling small, to just feel in my power constantly, regardless of that people might dislike something that I do. Do you feel any of this, like navigating your career and your colleagues or your friends in the city, or is this just like influencer world?
Oh my God, no. Oh my God, I feel like this all the time. I'm like constantly wondering what my coworkers, what my clients are thinking. Some days I'll feel like I'm on top of the world. I'm like, I'm fucking boss bitch. Like, here I come, San Francisco. And then other days I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. People don't like me. I don't have the personality for a career like this. Like, I'm too nice. And then some days I'm like, I'm too mean.
Interesting.
It's all jobs. For us, it's like numbers of like what you're making, square feet you're leasing for my job specifically. And yours is like follower count.
That's so interesting because sometimes I'll think, oh my gosh, I don't know what it would be like to be someone where you could Google their name and nothing would come up.
Yeah.
And so sometimes Max and I will be like, because we, even from sports, like when we were younger, we had sports articles written about us. But then there are people who you can Google them and there's nothing and they work their job. I guess sometimes I think, oh, you wouldn't have to manage the influx of judgment and opinions and like fear of what people think of you. But it's almost comforting to know like everyone has that in their own way.
Yeah. I was saying to Wood the other day, because he works with the same people every day. So like he kind of knows their character. You can read them. And like I work with different people every day. Like I'm meeting new people every day. And like you're trying to constantly gauge their emotions and like what they're thinking. And it's exhausting when you're like constantly trying to. It's like fear of people's opinions.
Right.
Of just like, OK, I'm just going to do my job. And like if you don't like the way I do it, then like I need to let that go.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, it's not just you. Yours is on a much larger scale, obviously.
Well,
because you're open to the public.
But it's debatable because it's like I'm worried about these opinions of people that I don't know. And you could make the argument that you're worried about the 20 people, but you know them and you shake their hands and you will call them next week.
Yeah.
I think everyone's in their own way.
It's like a little more intimate when you're like sitting next to them every day.
Yeah.
And yours are on the internet, but there's millions of them.
Yeah. So
they come in swarms. You know? That's terrifying.
Yeah. But that's something that I think about and want to get better at, especially this year.
To make a little pivot, I'm curious how your sexy journey is going.
Ooh, the sexy journey. Well, considering I just threw it back in the Fortnite video.
What? I saw some comments.
No, it looked good.
It looked good.
I could have arched the back more.
I mean, room for improvement. Let's make another one.
It's good. Like I said about something special coming soon, I feel like, you know, it's like some of the pictures I took to help promote this, a little sexy, and I'm like, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
And I know that I've gotten more comfortable with it for sure, which is good. I think I can still continue to push my boundaries a little bit more, but I definitely think the old stunted thought patterns I'd have about like, well, can I be sexy if I'm a speaker? And can I be wearing a crop top if there's a high schooler or a coach following me, whatever. I think I'm past that because I think about the amazing, iconic women that I am inspired by. Honestly, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And the range and even like how it's so common for her to say fuck on a song now. Like it's not even a weird thing. And, you know, her vigilante shit number with the chairs and you still see young 5-year-old girls at her concerts wearing cowboy boots who are so excited. Like it doesn't change.
Yeah.
So when I go back to wanting to embrace my individuality and really be unique and all of that, I think it's not putting myself in a box. And the last time you interviewed me, I think I was crying on that episode.
Probably. That sounds right. Yeah.
About my identity problems at the time. I was crying about like, oh, I feel like I'm no longer this volleyball player and I don't know if people will want the new version of me and I have new interests. And like, I think I'm definitely in my power there of not feeling like I'm in a box at all and feeling, if anything, like it's a strength that I have multiple interests and multiple things I enjoy doing.
Yeah. I ask because I feel like I don't know what in my head like is like you're in your late 20s. Like, I don't grow up. Like, so I have this like thing where I go through my closet and I'm like, I can't wear this shit. I look like a 19-year-old going to a frat party.
I think there's truth in that stuff, though.
I totally agree. So I'm like, I feel like in this lost place where I'm like, I can't dress sexy or like I'm trying to figure out like.
No, you can dress sexy.
Exactly.
I just think the
without
difference.
Without looking 19.
I think there's a difference between like a lacy neon bandeau and like a sexy silk cami. And like both are showing the same amount of tit, but like one is like neon lace that we would have worn to a festival.
Yeah.
And the other is like chic New York.
Yeah. So I think figuring out that switch for me has been interesting because I go the other way. Like I'm so scared of looking like a 19-year-old that I'm like, okay, we're just going to wear, I'm wearing a high neck tank top and
But you're a petite queen, so you definitely do get easily, like, I know you don't like to wear like big skirts and stuff because you are puffy dresses because you think it makes you look like a little girl.
Oh yeah, no.
I don't. I think it gives baby doll cute.
Yeah, baby doll cute. I don't want to look like a baby doll. I would love if you did a series on like sexy journey in your late 20s.
I know. I need to start posting more about it. Well, hopefully I dress sexy for my birthday lunch and then
fingers
that can
crossed.
Be, yeah.
I'll be looking forward to it. Where do you imagine you will settle down and raise kids with Max?
Gosh, I want to talk about with you right now.
Okay.
Because we can, is how lucky I feel and how in love I am with my mans. And the reason I say that we can talk about it is because when I have friends who are single, I feel like I can't talk about how great Max is because I'm self-conscious of like, I'm going to make them feel bad. You know, don't rub it in. Like, just don't talk about it. So then when I am with my friends who are also like really happy in relationships and in love, I feel like I can like let it ooze out of me. So when you said, where do we imagine settling down and having kids? My first thought was, I would be so lucky to have that man's kids. Like,
I know.
Oh, I just love him so much. So cute. I remember thinking like, oh, I'll be so lucky to marry him. And now we're married. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so lucky.
Just a little Vic and Max running around.
We talk about that a lot. Like, and it's like, wait, if it's half you and half me, I'm going to explode.
I know.
I'm going to.
Cutest thing I've ever thought of.
I can't even imagine a half off half one. No, but your baby's actually going to be the cutest because, first of all, you have the cutest face ever and Wood's ears. I'm done.
Woods
ears on a baby. I'm like, literally.
I scare him every time we walk by a kid because, like,
you have more baby fever than me.
My baby fever is like, I need to be checked into an institution. It's like my ovaries have been screaming since I turned 18.
Oh my
like,
God. You're crazy.
I'm ready to have a child, not a dog.
Oh
like,
my God.
Literally.
That's hilarious. Aubrey was like an avid babysitter in our youth and she pretty much raised our whole neighborhood. I think I say I would want to have one kid before I'm 30. So maybe have my kid around 29, 30. But
that's approaching.
I know.
That's like you're trying next year.
No.
Yes.
You're next almost, year I'm 28. And then
right.
I have one more
so
year.
So you're trying next year no. And then 9 months, then you're 29. That's the 29.
No,
you have a baby when
I
you're
imagine
29.
After I'm 29, then maybe.
So you're having a baby when you're 30.
Is that how that works?
A baby takes 9 months to make. That's common sense, I fear.
That's common sense, I fear. Now I don't know. I mean, I say that.
I'm like, wait for me, please.
No, that's one thing for sure. I am not having the first kid of the friend group or of my friends,
okay,
I should say.
Twist my arm.
Because I feel like I was the first to get married and it was so fun and I loved being first because I love being married now and then now I just attend and have fun. But I definitely don't want to have the first kid because I think having a kid is just such a life-changing thing. I want my friends to be able to like relate and I want to call them and be like, are you having this? Am I having this?
Yeah.
But I'm so on. If you have one, that's going to push me over the ledge.
I mean,
if you say you're trying, I'm trying.
Okay, great.
But I don't think it'll be till 2 years before we start to then recheck in.
Okay.
And then as far as settling down, I don't know.
Where
can
we,
you move
where
here?
Are we moving?
Yeah. I can't. My brain can't compute. Like, not. I know. We need to push our strollers next to each other.
I know.
Shit. So.
Just kind of wherever I am.
Let me know.
Okay, great. Perfect. I will take that answer. To wrap us up. With age comes wisdom.
What are these questions?
Dude, just don't question my process. With age comes wisdom. What do you hope to continue to improve on?
Well, I feel like I've said a few things. One of my favorite quotes that I think I can be better at is be slow to anger and abounding in kindness. And I love that quote. I think I could be quick to anger. I think anger can be a fun emotion sometimes. We all like getting a little spicy, a little heated, a little. And I think I can be quick to anger. And I want to work on my pausing. And that's something I have feel like I've been doing way better at. But I think that quote, be slow to anger and abounding in kindness. I think for everything, relationships, when it comes to the world, when it comes to reading a negative comment about myself, when it comes to someone treating me badly or being rude in passing or at the air, whatever. Like, I think like kindness, compassion, love, I want to be more unbreakable in like keeping that energy around me and strong at all times.
I love that. I think that's great. I think that's such a good closing quote.
Yeah.
A good 27-year-old quote to live by.
Well, I love you. And I'm so grateful that we've been celebrating birthdays together since
we were five.
We were
Wait.
Yeah.
You guys have to know that the way Victoria and I met is her mom came over to my house right after they moved in and Victoria was turning 5 years old and Lainey invited me to her fifth birthday party. And we have a photo of me, having never met Vic, standing right next to her blowing out the candles for her cake.
We have a photo from our first ever day together and it was my birthday party. That's so crazy.
So cute.
And now here we are at 27 in LA recording a podcast about 27th birthday.
Crazy.
Crazy. I love you so much.
I love you. This has
been
so fun.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, call me Barbara.
Bye, Barbara.
Bye, Barbara.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Pod. If this hit home or helped you in some way, send it to a friend, a teammate, roomie. Share the love, share the realness. New episodes of Real Pod come out every single Wednesday. So make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you never miss an episode. To leave a rating or a review of the show, head to iTunes and let me know what you think. I love hearing from you. Not to mention, you can stay connected with Real Pod throughout the week, seeing behind the scenes info and sneak previews of upcoming guests by following the @RealPod account on Instagram. All information about today's show and guests will be linked in the description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. I love you guys so, so much. Let's go dominate the day. And as always, keep it real.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.